Hey, Finheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings, episode 6. I'm your host, Cigar Surgeon. Today we're going to be talking about coffee. And taking the place of our other guest host, Rob, is Catfish. Catfish, what's going on, brother?
Woo! Not much. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. You know, coffee, we kind of, a lot of the audience don't know this, but we nerded out pretty hard in IPCPR about cigars, but we nerded out just as hard on coffee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I don't know. Had we talked about doing this show before that? Did you invite me to do the show before that, or was it after? I can't remember.
You know, I think we were nerding out about coffee, and we were something like, I think Logan is rolling his eyes at us because you're about an hour and a half into talking about coffee and brew methods, and I think he looked at us and said, "You guys are crazy." And I think it was that exact moment where we said, "You know what? Why are we not doing this on Sharing Our Pairings? Because, I mean, that is exactly what we should be doing."
I think you're right, because I'm just trying to put in my head, I mean, the whole show was a blur, and so I can't remember when we, because it was, I think, the last day, actually, that we got the beans from Omar at Fratello, and I guess that's kind of when we solidified the idea of the show, really.
Yeah, and so hopefully tonight we'll have a guest host. For those who aren't aware, Omar from Fratello is Fratello Cigars and Fratello Coffee. Is hopefully going to be able to join us tonight. He is traveling, so it's kind of hit and miss, but we are pairing Fratello Coffee tonight. And I think we'll just hop right into it because, you know, we're here to talk about coffee. So I've actually done three different preparation methods, which we'll nerd about in a minute. So this is just your boring old drip. Now, I say boring old drip, but I'm actually using a pretty high-end drip machine to brew this, and at the risk of sending Catfish off on a tangent for the next half an hour, I use some African regional beans from Starbucks. I made sure that the roast was new, and we'll talk about that. So that was just drip. The middle one is Fratello. I did this about 15 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago with a French press. I'm just going to take a sip because it's delicious. Oh, so good. And the great thing about Fratello is that on the side of the packaging, and a lot of people might not be aware of this, they actually have the brew methods along with the preparation instructions right down to how many ounces of water and how many ounces of beans you're going to be using. And that's a big deal to me, which we'll talk about in a bit as well. And last but not least, the cool science method, if you're a meth head or a science geek, the fast pot brew for the third cup.
That's when you're using that Bunsen burner like looking thing, huh?
Yeah, and the hold up, we were a bit late starting tonight. The hold up tonight was as a result of me pouring water because I was so rushed doing three preparation methods that I ended up pouring meth water in the top of my my Bunsen, so I had to clean it out, blow it out before it would light. So we started late tonight, and I'm sorry for that, but moving right along, what do you have?
I have my cup of coffee here. Normally I do Chemex. If I'm in a rush or I'm just like half dead, I'll use a normal Mr. Coffee drip machine, but most of the time in the mornings I use a Chemex, and then in the afternoon, what I'm drinking here is I use the old, I think it's called a Maki, the Italian espresso pot. You'll see a lot of the Cuban guys say this is how you make old Cuban coffee Cuban espresso.
Yeah,
it's called a Maki, and you put the water in the bottom, and it basically blasts the coffee bean, the water up through the coffee bean, and then it settles in the top. And while it isn't exactly espresso as far as, you know, you can take a little shot of espresso and get spun, it is definitely a lot stronger than your typical coffee. I mean, this is what I'll drink, maybe a third of a normal cup of coffee of this in the afternoon and be whacked out all the way through grad school at night. You know what I mean? So that's kind of why I bought that thing, was to be my second wind, I guess, if you will, during the day. So I was going to make a latte with it, which is what I kind of liken it to for the most part because it's not truly espresso. But my French press, I didn't clean it last time, so it was all funked out when I got to it. It was nasty. And that was like 20 minutes ago, so I was not going to deal with it. But yeah, and I'm having the Fratello Corona for the first time ever. Coolest band on the market. I also want to give a shout out to Covenant Coffee. That's my local roaster. I had done, I guess where we got started on the conversation was I had done, when I was writing with Robbie, I had done these coffee and Connecticut pairing reviews, and I ended up doing one at Cigar Federation as well when I came in, and it was basically a way for me to explore how coffee interacted with the palate.
Yep.
So, while you're smoking a cigar. So, you know, it made sense then to, okay, well, let's feature Fratello cigars and Fratello coffee and see how they interact together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to kind of give a shout out to Omar because he's a good dude and he makes a great product and be kind of be a basis of the show. And so I went to my local roaster. They're called Covenant Coffee. It's this little coffee house in town where I live in Bakersfield, California. And they do all single region, roast right there in front of you. I mean, you can get stuff so fresh that you don't need to, you know, you can't drink it for the first 72 hours. You can get it right off the big roasting monster machine that they have. And it was one of those great places that I found a couple years ago that I've been able to go and explore the different regions and whatnot. And oddly enough, I went in there, started talking to one of the guys, and he was one of the employees, and I ended up talking to the roaster, and then he starts handing me bags of coffees in his sack. So I featured in the article today, I featured five different coffees from them as well. So I wanted to give a shout-out to Covenant. Specifically, it's not a non-profit organization, but it's a they only hire foster kids at this coffee house, which is really cool. So
that is really cool.
They specifically want to give foster kids that are local the chance to get work history and learn the roasting of coffee and everything that there is with coffee and give them an ability to get some job experience before they get before they hit 18, you know what I mean, which is really cool. So I had a ton of, if my write-up today is based on all of their coffees, and I'll talk a little bit about them tonight as well and how the different types of beans interacted with my palate for the different types of cigars, including the Fratello and the Spro coffee, because I believe it's the Spro coffee house that makes his beans for him.
Spro Coffee, you got it. And actually, while you're talking about your local coffee house, I completely forgot to give a shout out to my local coffee house, or one of, because Calgary is actually known for its coffee, believe it or not. We have a lot of people here, and I don't know if it's because we're all professionals. We drink a lot of coffee, but we have a coffee culture here, and one of the places that does really great coffee is Big Mountain, which is the third cup. The Vacpot cup, which I kind of went for on purpose because I tend to find my Vacpot brews are really bold, and this particular Big Mountain is sort of my morning kick in the face coffee. My girlfriend sort of calls it the electric coffee because it'll wake you up with flavor, but it's not going to blow you away with caffeine because of the way that that it's prepared. So,
speaking of which, since I've got you on that tangent, tell people. Because I'm assuming I'm taking this show from a standpoint of people who don't know coffee. Like Matt, for instance, didn't understand what a Chemex was and Yirgacheffe and Kocheri and all that kind of crap. So I'm going to explain that a little bit later. Explain to people what coffee is stronger and why.
So there's a lot of interesting notions, whether we're talking about whiskey or wine or whatever. And one of the interesting ones that has always cropped up in coffee and seems to persist is that the darker the coffee roast, the more powerful it is, the more caffeine it is. And I guess that there's a lot of likeness to somebody sees a dark Maduro cigar, they assume that the cigar is strong. Well, in the case of coffee, the interesting thing is the darker you roast your coffee, the less caffeine it has in it, because in essence you are burning away the caffeine. Now, you are often going to get a much, depending on the beans, and we'll talk about this in more detail, but you will sometimes get a much bolder flavor. But you're actually losing, so, you know, to liken it to cigar terms that Logan can understand, you're taking away the Ligero, you're improving the flavor. If you have a lighter roast, what we call a blonde roast or just a city roast, you'll actually get a heck of a lot more caffeine, but depending on the beans, some beans are going to be much better at a lighter roast, some beans are not going to really hit their true flavor potential until you give them a darker roast. And, you know, we'll talk about roasting probably in detail at a later show, but, you know, it's something that seems to persist. And my phone is telling me that this is a good time for a break, so we're going to stop for a second for our AFRN listeners, and we'll be right back.
Am I frozen? Okay, my camera's frozen on mine. Oh, well. There he is!
There he is. Omar's back. So we're back from our first break. And as soon as Omar... There he is. Omar, we're live here on Sharing Our Pairings. How are you doing this evening?
John, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Good, yeah. Man. We're enjoying our Fratello cigars.
Good. Good, 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 good.
Enjoying our Fratello coffee.
Are you drinking and driving?
No. No drinking and driving. Just hitting Huntsville like a storm.
You got a GoPro in your car or what, dude?
Dude, I got everything, man. All I need is really, I could travel with a pair of underwear and my toothbrush and just hit the road with my cigars, man. It's been an interesting year, man, because that's been the way I've been hanging around for the last year, trying to hit a couple of shops and visit the best accounts that I can in the time that I am allotted, man, because I don't have all the time in the world. So so when I do visit, when I do go out and do this type of activities and reach out to some of these shops, man, I really gotta take advantage of the time. So
nice. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to come here and hang out with us for a little bit, brother. So we were right in the, I don't know what the hell we were. We were right in the random, in the middle of talking about roasting levels and everything. And
I think we actually did lose video on you there, Dustin. So you might have to log out, log or hang out.
But you can hear me.
We can hear you just fine. We just can't
okay.
see
your. All right. Well, you talk to him about the roast of the bean, because specifically, since we just talked about roast, one of the things that I pointed out in my write up today was how that. That blend, you can see the light. I mean, there's like a cinnamon, super light, kind of light, and then medium light, and there's all sorts of different sizes of beans and everything in the blend. So I'm going to jump out, and then I'll jump back in.
Absolutely. This is a solid medium roast, guys. It came out absolutely gorgeous. It's got three countries in it. It's got Ethiopia, Honduras, and El Salvador. And it truly was a blend that we did just to be able to highlight some of the flavors of the Fratello. And it was meant to be only for me to enjoy in the morning, because I'm a coffee freak. And so I talked to my guy, my roaster, my local roaster in Baltimore, and he decided to give us to do a blend. You know, we did a full cupping to see what blend actually worked the best. And when we came up with that Fratello blend, I told him, I was like, listen, this is so good, we could actually market this, and that's exactly how it happened.
Well, we were sort of talking after the IPCPR, the last day of the IPCPR, because we're coffee nerds, as you found out. We couldn't get over, first of all, it is a medium roast, and which we appreciate, because as we were sort of talking before you joined the show, there's a lot of coffees that really don't hit their stride unless you roast them properly. In this coffee, we could not get over just how bright it was, how fruity it was. And we were saying, you know, if you roast this darker, I feel like a lot of those highs, that fruity high, would be cut off. And you might get something more earthy, but this coffee seems just perfect at a medium roast. Like, you're just right. Getting so much fruit out of it.
It truly is. It truly is. And it's got a nice caramel undertone to it that it's absolutely just dropped in gorgeous. But I did want to make sure that I at least dropped in, guys. I have to run in really quick to an appointment. So please forgive me. I did wanted to come in at least and say hello. And I wish we could have dedicated a little bit more time, but I have an appointment right now. That I'm hoping I can complete. So,
go handle it, brother. Knock out the business.
Business is business. We appreciate you popping by, man. And thanks again for the coffee.
I appreciate that, guys. Say hello to everybody from me, and you know, hope you. I can't wait to see that review on the coffee and the Fratello pairing. Okay.
Take care, brother.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
All right.
Am I frozen again, John?
You know, I think you might be. So we're just gonna run with it tonight because we seem to be having all kinds of technical issues.
Yeah, you just get this beautiful like profile of my mug right there.
Yep, that's awesome. Right. So, so I actually I think Omar recommended that I do the Fratello in a French press, and I'll talk a little bit about the brew method. So French press, for those who aren't aware, really simple device. It's literally a cup with a filter on it. You put the grinds, and there's a lot of discussion about what grind you use, but you put the grinds in the bottom, you add hot water, you stir it, you add more hot water, you stir it for longer, and then literally this mesh filter goes on top, you press it, and what happens is the sort of silty grinds sit at the bottom of the cup, and what filters through is the richness of your coffee.
Nice. I do Chemex, and I know Matt asked for, you know, he wanted to know what Chemex is, and Chemex is actually the brand, but it's very famous. There's a lot of people who do what's called a pour over, and it's where they have some kind of cylindrical device on top of either a pot or a cup. I mean, I've actually seen them where they have them that you can put them right on top of a cup, you know. It's kind of cool. And the idea there, Matt, and for anybody else who wants to know, is you basically take a pot of water, boiling water. I actually have this little side pot, if you will, by I think Bonvita or something like that. It's just basically, I wake up, pour water in this thing, press power, and it heats up my water to 200 degrees. And then I have my little glass, this glass container thing is the Chemex pot, and it has a cone at the top of it, and I put the filter in, I put the beans in, and I pour the coffee, I slowly pour the water over the coffee beans, and the water seeps down in, and what happens is they say with this method that the water gets more extraction time with the beans, more interaction with the beans, and so you get a truer flavor with less bitterness, less acidity, the kind that you don't want, and you get a better cup of coffee. And so it does take a little bit more time because I'm going to end up pouring, you know, water over coffee slowly. And it's a process. It takes you maybe 5 minutes or so. But in the end, I think you get way more flavor out of using a Chemex or a pour over, I guess, if you will, than any of the other methods that I've tried and done over the years.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of different ways to prepare coffee, and I think one of the major complaints I've heard from people is, I don't have time, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you can reasonably prepare a pour-over or French press, even a vac pot, and vac pot, is, I think, for me, is probably one of the most time-intensive things. In about 10 or 15 minutes in the morning, I am not a morning guy, and
me neither.
That's, you know what, for me, the start of every day is a really great cup of coffee. And honestly, as much as I love cigars, I could not start my day without a really great cup of coffee or a couple of cups of coffee. I don't think my day would really be complete without it.
Absolutely. I mean, I would kill people if not, to be honest.
Yeah, there would definitely be some murder going on. I mean, we all got in each other, got to know each other at the IPCPR, and I don't think any of us are really morning people. But that said, you and I are definitely going to murder people without coffee in the morning without question.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, at the show, there's no question. You can ask Rob. The second I wake up, I basically wake up and I go straight to the worst coffee experience on earth. that is a place otherwise known as Starbucks. Because that's all I could drink when I'm down there, unfortunately.
But, yeah, I mean, there's not there didn't seem to be a lot of really indie coffee shops, which is really a shame.
No.
The nice thing about indie coffee shops is you can get all kinds of different brew methods. You can get pour over, you can get high quality beans. At the risk of, again, starting another rant for 20 minutes, neither of us are big fans of Starbucks, mostly because
they fucking suck.
Well, they suck. They
burn all their crap.
They over roast their beans. They over extract their coffee. So a lot of people complain about bitterness, and they associate high end coffee with bitterness, and that is the complete opposite of what high end coffee should be. High end coffee should be just like buttery smooth, like this Fratello.
Yeah, I mean their coffee is straight up garbage, trash, gasoline, pure complete horseshit, dog shit, manure. I would never drink it, in all honesty, unless I'm forced to, and then I have to like dump a ridiculous amount of cream to make up for all the burnt crap that's in it. And it's funny because people, you know, they think it's the best because they get all spun off of it, and I'm like, you know, if you take, you go look at, everybody look at the picture that on SigFed of the Fratello blend, specifically the Spro, you see how light it is. That is going to get you whacked out of your head. If you drink two cups of that coffee, if you drink, you know, a grande or whatever the hell they call it, whatever their big, large coffee is, of the black Starbucks, and you drink same thing of this Spro, this Fratello coffee, you will be high as balls off of the light roast, because the light roast will just get you flying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you that I normally don't drink coffee past 5 o'clock. So normally in the show I'd be getting pretty buzzed on liquor. This is obviously the night where I'm getting buzzed on caffeine. So,
oh, I'm gonna be up all night.
Yeah, I'm either gonna have to ingest 2 liters of water after the show or something, because I will not sleep. But Omar's right. I mean, beyond the fruitiness of this Fratello, there's a lot of caramel. It does pair really well with this Fratello cigar, which is...
Yeah, you know what's funny? On that note, you know, the coffee itself is a straight-up berry bomb. It's one of the most berry berry coffees I've ever had. And I really got to give tip my hat to him and Spro, because... blending is not easy. If you look at all the different beans that I showed you guys, you know, all the beans are different sizes. The pea berries versus the Ethiopians versus the, you know, the pea berry Ethiopian, pea berry Costa Rican, Tanzanian versus the Nicaraguan versus the Kenyan. You'll see that there's a size difference that's huge. I think in the Nicaraguan specifically, I at the bottom right-hand corner of the picture, you'll see a pea berry bean right next to the Nicaraguan bean, and it's like twice the size. And so when you take three different beans like they did, put them together, and come up with such a good blend, I mean, that's just as hard as blending a cigar. I mean, it's a different process, but I blended coffees myself, and I normally never blend more than two because I don't think I have the time or capacity to really blend more than two beans. Do you ever do that at all?
You know, I do, and we'll probably get super crazy nerdy about blending and roasting coffee at another time, but for those who aren't aware, I've been roasting my own coffee for almost 4 years now, so I've got a ridiculous amount of coffee equipment. I roast my own beans from green. It's a plant. It comes as a green bean. It's very hard. It stinks. It's not a very pleasant thing. You roast it. There's a whole technique to roasting, and I agree with you. I think as an amateur roaster, I can tell you that it is absolutely as difficult as blending a cigar, because there's so much going on. You've got so much to dial in with how the coffee is being roasted, the profile, how much time you're taking, what beans you're roasting it with, the preparation method. I mean, you could go crazy with just dialing in the amount of coffee, the grams of coffee to water ratio.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, like, I've taken courses on espresso, and I literally took a 2-hour course on how to make espresso properly. And we're talking 1 gram of coffee on either side is the difference between a great espresso and an espresso that is bitter and harsh and terrible. Like 1 gram of coffee. That's how much you can dial it in.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've done that before because I have the little scale, you know, the digital scale, a little drug dealer scale, because I use it for weighing meats in my diet, and I use it for blending pipe tobacco, and I've used it for coffee as well. I just don't give a crap. I kind of eye it and know well enough how to get it. But I will say this, with the Chemex, the people who turned me on to it, my friends that turned me on to it, they are like hardcore about putting the exact ratio, the exact grind in. And when you take the time, you're definitely rewarded. In all honesty, you are. I really could care less. I just make it and go for it.
So we're gonna
there's a difference. So
we're gonna take another quick commercial break here for 5 seconds. So we'll be right back after these messages. Hey, we're back sharing our pairings, episode 6, talking about coffee. I'm here with my guest co-host Catfish. This episode is brought to you by Fratello Coffee, Fratello Cigars. We're enjoying a couple of different coffees with the Fratello cigar. We haven't even talked about the blend yet. I just want to talk a little bit about just sort of move past brew methods here, because I've talked about VacPot, and I'll just sort of talk about it briefly in overview, and then we can talk about our pairings. A VacPot is essentially looks like a bowl with a small opening on the top. It looks very much like something you'd see in chemistry. The water goes in the bottom. You put a burner on top, or on the bottom, pardon me, and then there's a cylindrical glass that sits on top, and inside there goes your filter and your coffee, and what happens is the water boils, moves into the top, brews, and then comes back down, and what ends up happening is you get you get a very, very rich experience, rich coffee. You filter out a lot of the silt. For me, so far, I would say VacPot is my preferred method of brewing because I find I get the most character out of coffee, but it is also very time intensive. Like I said earlier, it takes like 10 to 15 minutes to brew, so it's a bit of work involved, but this Big Mountain coffee, which is a bold coffee, is really shining with that VacPot.
Nice.
Now, earlier you talked about Connecticut's, and I know I get a lot of grief for being a Ladero lover, but I actually absolutely love a good Connecticut wrapper or a good Cameron wrapper with coffee. To me, that's like dessert for me.
That's interesting. I'll run because you got some little background noise going on. The Connecticut pairing for me is just one of those things. I've always loved Connecticut's. I'm the captain of the Connecticut for Life Club, if you will. And I love Avo Classic, which I just gave a 96 to. And it was funny because I'm like sitting there going, that's such an awfully high rating, and I don't think it's an amazing cigar, but it is one of those cigars that everybody loves no matter what. I mean, almost everybody. I don't think Logan would dig it, but, to me, when you pair a good coffee and a good Connecticut together, there's nothing better. And same with Habanos, with some of the Habanos. And in this experiment with the Covenant coffees that I got from my local roaster, I used they had a couple different roasts, and so through the pairings, like I did a their Kenyan AA is a full city roast, which full city for you guys means it's a darker roast. It's not necessarily like super dark. Like there's a couple more roasting levels above that, but it does mean it's a little bit on the darker side. And so I figured, Boulder Bean, I'll go with a Partagas Short, and it was a good pairing, but they almost kind of maybe combated each other just a little bit, and so maybe like a dash of cream in the coffee would have made a difference, but it was good. I think the Spro would have been better looking back. I think it would have matched it better, Spro being the Fratello. But the one that really, really popped to me was the Nomad Connecticut, the new Connecticut that Fred put out. I gave it a 90. I was floored at how good it was. And I mean, seriously, like I had this Ethiopian Kucheri, and again, this comes from the Yurgachev region, and Yurgachev, just so you guys know, is a famous region, or it's a region that's well known for coffee beans in Ethiopia. So you'll hear a lot of people talking about Chafe, Chefe. They say it a couple different ways, and I learned that the correct way is Chafe. Anyways, it's a real vibrant, alive bean, and when I paired it with that Nomad Connecticut, holy crap, it was seriously like the Connecticut was like the cream to the coffee. Like if you were making an espresso drink and you had one, ingredient, it was the other ingredient that married together to make the perfect cup. I mean, it was freaking fantastic. Like I was trying not to chain smoke and chug these things down. They were so freaking good. And that being said, if you read through the rest of my review that I posted today, you'll see a Corona Junior, Costa Rican, Tanzanian. I think I did the Epoca from Nat Sherman, which is a real light floral cigar, a new one that they just put out, and it paired perfectly with the Costa Rica Peaberry. Most of the times, I don't know if you'd probably agree, but most of the peaberries, a peaberry coffee is a real small bean. It's a real teeny tiny bean. And so most of the time they're roasted on the lighter side. You'll see anywhere from like a real, real light roast to maybe like a medium light roast, and that's about it.
Peaberries are a little bit larger than a popcorn kernel, and I do find them to be very, very delicate. and I mean, that takes, you have to take that into account during your roasting profile and your roasting levels.
Absolutely.
But going back to something you said earlier, I absolutely agree that it is a no-brainer pairing for me. I can pretty much guaranteed pair a Connecticut cigar with most types of coffee. That is, I know I can grab a really great cup of coffee, grab a really great Connecticut wrapper cigar, and I mean, I'm in heaven. And that absolutely is doubly true for anything Habanos. I mean, one of the great experiences for me is sitting in Cuba enjoying an espresso or a latte in the morning with a Habano cigar, and it's heaven. It's absolute bliss for me.
Oh yeah, and specifically with the with your Habanos, I think the really bright coffees mix well. Other than like a San Cristobal El Principe, then I would say the darker ones, like the Nicaraguan bean that I had. That I got from Zach over at Covenant was this. It had this like really. It was interesting because that's a bean where I've drank it light, I've drank it medium, and I'm drinking it dark. And this instance, it was a full city, so it was kind of a medium roast. And I've had it where it's the I can't remember what, like a Vienna roast where it's super dark. And it's so weird because the roasting level of it changes how that chocolate flavor interacts with your palate, and
Absolutely.
So it almost changes what kind of cigar I would interact with it. So
yeah, and I have to say that one of the great experiences for me in Nicaragua, because again I am a coffee freak, was trying out their coffee, and I gotta say, absolutely blown away. I mean, their coffee just has so many notes of coffee, caramel, sweetness, and it's a very bold coffee without being, I mean, just I guess the way I would liken it is, it's a very bold flavored coffee without being a very strong coffee. Like, it's bold.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's super rich and hits the front of your palate with this big, rich flavor. Almost kind of like some of the medium rich cigars that we're getting out of Nicaragua right now. It's almost the exact same kind of flavor. It's ridiculous, honestly. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, we're talking about the interesting thing about different beans from different origins. Just like, I mean, it's a plant. It is a plant, and just like cigar wrappers or fillers from different origins, you're going to get a completely different taste and flavor depending on where you get your coffee from, whether it's Ethiopian, whether it's Costa Rican, whether it's there's so many regions in the world that have coffee, and it's interesting as an amateur roaster, I like to try coffee from all over. You know, some of the most interesting coffees I've had was like Moroccan coffee, where you actually get some spiciness and you get some pepper through there, which I'd never experienced out of coffee before. So you can really, and I'm gonna make a bold prediction here and say you can almost find any coffee to match any cigar for the most part, as long as your cigar isn't ridiculously strong, that is, isn't it overpowering coffee?
Keep going.
All right, I'm on a roll here. So, what I'm enjoying about this Fratello is that, and the reason it blends really well with these, or pairs really well with these coffees, is that it's right down the middle of the road. It's not too light. It's not too heavy. It's got a little bit of hay. It does have some sweetness to it. There's not a lot of pepper, which is good, because I think if it was really peppery, it'd take a lot off these coffees. I can say that, as expected, the drip coffee, which, you know, it's fine for the morning, but you're not going to get the best preparation of a drip machine. Think of it in terms of audio. where you're cutting off the highs, you're cutting off the lows, you're still getting an okay coffee, but you're missing a lot of character in the coffee. And it's not, if you have the time to prepare coffee, even the best drip machine in the world is not going to compare to a pour over, a French press, a vac pot, a mocha pot. My preferred method, again, is a vac pot. I'll go to a French press in a pinch. I haven't done a lot of pour over yet. That's something I'm getting into. But that's the message you really should go to if you want to get the most out of a bean, because you're going to find a lot of flavor in a bean that's not there if you try just a sort of a boring pedestrian drip.
Yeah, no, I apparently I'm black as the Blair Witch Project now. I don't even have anything as awesome, but right, for me, just to, because I know we're getting to the end of our 45 minutes, it was funny when I licked the cap. When I licked the cap of the Fratello, I kind of got some of the same fruiting. I got kind of the same fruitiness out of the bean. And as I'm ending this cup right now, the caramel flavors are kind of coming out of it. And so, it honestly, this is, you can tell that whoever blended this coffee sat down with this cigar and kind of blended them together and made them to be together. You know what I mean? Because the berry notes, they both have that same kind of berry note going on, that dried berry, and the caramel in the coffee really, really, like as far as my palate is concerned, the interaction with my palate in the cigar, when I take a rip off the cigar, for instance, which you guys can't see me doing that right now, I just want you to imagine in your head my beautiful face, my beard, and my mustache, the awesomeness that is in my face. I'm sucking on this wonderful Fratello cigar right now. Hold on a second.
And I want to say, because you and I are definitely on the same page when it comes to ring gauges, much like with coffee, the preparation method brings out the best in the cigar. I'm absolutely a believer in a lot of times the smaller ring gauge is where you're going to get a lot more complexity out of a cigar. If this was a 60 ring gauge cigar, I would not be getting the flavors out of this Fratello that I am out of this profile.
And what's interesting is the caramel flavors of the coffee. Like right now, the finish in the back of my mouth is all the caramel flavors of the coffee. So then when I draw the cigar, what happens is, as I take the draw in of the cigar, I get the flavors of the Fratello, the light berries and nuts, and what it's got going on, and they kind of roll up my tongue, settle on my palate, and then as I exhale, you know, I get the flavor of the cigar. Then when I take the drink of the cup of coffee kind of like goes around it, if you will, like swims around it, and then settles in the back of my mouth. So what you have then is you have this marrying of the berry and caramel flavors of the coffee kind of settling in the outside of your mouth, the back of your tongue, the back of your palate, really, while the cigar flavors are sitting kind of mid-tongue and front of mouth, if you will. And so when I explain people how the pairing works, those are the things that I point out to them with any cigar pairing with coffee specifically, is how the interaction of both kind of end up on your palate. Because the really good ones, like the Nomad and the Opoca from Nat Sherman, they both did that, to where I had this like amazing cigar flavor, mid, front tongue, front mouth, and this amazing coffee flavor in the back of my mouth, and it was like awesome. Because then you have this big bouquet of flavors swirling around your mouth at any given time, you know what I mean?
And I would agree with you earlier when you said that obviously someone has taken some great care to sit down with this cigar and this coffee, because there's just no way that something like this happens by accident. Someone has clearly sat down, probably gone through 2 or 3 dozen different roasts and combinations to get this to match up, because this is a no-brainer pairing. Like I would say that this is a guaranteed... You're going to get an excellent experience. Doesn't matter what your profile is. If you match this coffee and this cigar, it's going to be great. And I'm actually really looking forward to, because I looked through my my bundle from IPCPR, and I have that Nomad Connie. And
it's good, dude.
I am super looking forward to that. I'm actually going to try some Fuente short stories, I think, pairing this weekend as well.
Yeah, I know. It is absolutely fantastic. Do we have to stop at 45 minutes? Is that how this works?
So the way this is going to work is we stop our regular show, quote unquote, at the 45 minute mark. We take a pause break, and then we do our after dark show for the sort of remainder of the time, which is usually 15 to 20 minutes, and we just kind of freewheel for the last 15 minutes for our Fed heads out there. So okay. we might as well wrap it up because we're right on that time and talk about please be here next week, the 20th. Rob, our I guess you call him our regular guest co-host, is going to be back. We're going to be doing some wine pairing, which is going to be really interesting. So hope everyone tunes in at our regular time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 20th. I want to thank Omar, who took time out of his schedule, logged in from the car
Absolutely.
To be here.
Absolutely.
Also want to thank him for donating the coffee from Spro Fratello to the show. That was very generous of him. And
Absolutely.
The delicious cigar to pair with him. And Catfish, I want to appreciate you for stepping in on short notice, brother.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to my local roaster, too, Zach Martin with Covenant Coffee, because they do. Like I said, I like their mission where they employ foster kids, and they honestly provide some of the best beans on earth. I'm going to send you some when I send you your cigars in Vegas, because I think their Yirgachafa is one of the best I've ever had. Not only do they make great coffee, but they also, you know, serve a good purpose in our community. So there's a link to their site in my review.
Right
you guys want to get some of their stuff. So,
and I want to shout out to Big Mountain Coffee for their heavier roast that I did tonight. Very good. It's a local roaster for me in Calgary. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Stick around if you're here on our website. We're gonna switch over to After Dark here after this quick break. All right, we're back. After Dark, here with
Damn
Catfish.
Damn it, dude. I didn't know that we could. I didn't realize I shouldn't curse.
It's all right. I'll leave it up to Rob.
I wouldn't have drawn it and thrown an F-bomb about Starbucks.
I knew that Starbucks was going to light you up. I mean,
oh, they're so terrible. And you know what? You know what pisses me off about that effing place? Okay, you have gazillions of dollars, right? Here you are, Starbucks, you know, where there's one on literally every damn block. And they can't even make a goddamn cup. With a lid that stays on and doesn't drip. Their lids drip over everything.
It's really sad because, you know, and I hate to crap on anybody, but it really pisses me off when you have a company that's focused on profit only and not a good product. And there's lots of different companies out there. There's lots of coffee companies out there. Second Cup, Phil and Sebastian's. I mean, there's lots of local shops out there whose goal is to brew a really good cup of coffee. So, you know, I say the same thing to people about beer, is that there's lots of different coffee out there. Even if you don't like coffee, maybe try something from your local coffee house that does a really good job of sourcing the beans, mm-hmm. proper preparation method, and you're going to get a much different experience than you would from Dunkin' Donuts or from McDonald's.
Absolutely.
Or from Starbucks.
Now we do have a question from the crowd that I want to throw out here at you, and then I'll give you my answer. Ed Whedon asks, "What is the best way to take your coffee with a cigar, cream or black?"
So I'm going to give the same recommendation for coffee as I do for whiskey, and that's a boring one. That is, my recommendation is start with black. If you don't drink your coffee back black, that's okay. Just start with black because once you add cream or sugar or anything to the coffee, you're dramatically changing the profile. The same as if you add water or ice to your whiskeys, your rums, or whatever, you're changing the flavor profile. So try the flavor profile unmodified. If you don't like it, hey, that's totally cool, man. It's your coffee. Add whatever you want. But please try it black first. You're going to get a lot of notes out of there that you're going to they're just going to be taken up by a heavy cream or any kind of additive. What about you, Catfish? What do you think?
I take it several different ways, and so to refer back to the article that I wrote today, I can't remember which bean it was, but some of them I'll drink it black and I love it black. Other ones, I think I'll put just a little teeny tiny bit of heavy cream in it to cut it a little bit, and then the Nicaraguan bean specifically, I found that if I put a little bit of extra heavy cream in it, it was like, boom, milk chocolate. It was amazing. I also do the latte deal as well, you know, where I take milk and I put it in a French press and heat it up, and then pump it so that it foams up. I found that that's actually the best foam on the planet. And so the interaction of the foam and how you pour the foam in the espresso or how the pour the foam in the coffee will change the way that the cream interacts with the coffee as well. So really, Ed, to answer your question, it totally depends. It depends upon the bean, and it definitely depends upon the brew method. I mean, I'll be honest, if I make coffee out of my Mr. Coffee machine, I don't like it black. It is much more bitter and acidic, and I'm just kind of like, bleh, and I just throw cream in it because I don't care. But the Chemex or the Maki, the stovetop, or just a straight espresso, those you don't necessarily need it. Now, espresso, I like a little bit of sugar in the bottom of the espresso glass.
I do as well. But and I think a lot of the times, and I'm just going to crap on espresso makers for a minute, a lot of the times the problem is that espresso requires such a perfect dial-in, like I was talking mm-hmm. about earlier. I mean, you really have to dial it in. If you have a perfect espresso extraction, most of the time you don't need sugar, but I do find almost, I'd say 90% of the time, I end up adding some raw sugar to it,
yep.
Just a little bit. It kind of cuts a little bit of that harsh bitterness away, and that, I mean, that's how I take my espresso.
Yeah, like I was actually surprised at the show this year. You know, people hand out espresso all over the place, and I noticed a bunch of people had those little Nespresso machines, and with a little bit of raw sugar, they were so good. I was like, I may go buy one because I've bought the expensive espresso machines, and I don't think they. Sometimes it's just like it's such a pain in the butt to make a good one.
It is. It's a lot of work.
It's like that. It's like the little Nespresso. You just plop it in and boom and go, and put a little bit of friggin' sugar in there, and it's pretty dang good.
And I mean, you don't have to go out and spend $1,000 on an espresso machine. You don't have to go out and spend $1,000 on coffee equipment. My advice is. If you want better coffee, do it incremental. You know, you start out with a better grinder. A lot of people out there don't realize.
What kind of grinder? Tell everybody what kind of grinder.
So, brother, I use a Baratza. As far as I'm concerned, Baratza is one of the best consumer grade grinders out there.
Why do you use that kind?
So I use the Baratza.
What's different about it?
So I use a Baratza for a couple of different reasons. First of all, it's a burr grinder. Now,
and explain to people what a burr grinder is.
So there's two kinds of grinders out there. There's a blade grinder, which is a typical consumer-level grade grinder out there.
That's basically the little thing that you guys see. It's a little cylinder, and you press a button, and it's all...
And it just chops
blades
the beans
spin around,
up.
Chops the beans up.
Now, the problem with that is that, first of all, you're not getting an even grind because it's literally just hacking away at the beans. And the second thing is it's adding temperature to the beans. And I know it sounds weird, but it does change the profile of the bean before roasting. A burr grinder is literally two metal blocks that crunch very slowly. They crunch the bean up, and they do so in a very controlled manner, a very precise manner. So kind of going back to the Baratza, the reason the Baratza is so awesome is you can dial this grinder in one segment at a time. It's got 65 different segments on the Virtuoso that I use. They've got a higher-end one for espresso that you can dial in. I believe it goes up to 90 different segments of dialing in. And it's not mystical BS. You can, with an espresso, like a very precise espresso extraction, you can dial it in one or two notches in another direction with the exact same water, the exact same time of brew, and get a different result. It really does make that much of a difference.
So the thing I want to point out to everybody here real quick and just kind of give everybody a starting point, because we are, unfortunately, with a show like this and you put guys like John and I on it, we'll start talking off and going in tangents forever, in all honesty. And there's a lot of information that we're throwing at you. First and foremost, we've gone over a bunch of different brew methods today. You guys can look them up and check them out and see what you want to do. Some of them are relatively inexpensive, some of them are a little bit more expensive, but the main thing, first and foremost, just like a good cigar, you have to have good beans. Just like you got to have good tobacco. You can't. The tobacco doesn't lie. Neither does the bean.
And good water. I mean, we
and
didn't.
Good water. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I filter water. I absolutely use filtered water. I can tell in a heartbeat if the water's been filtered. But the main thing that I would implore everybody to look for locally roasted beans that have been roasted within the last week or so. And most of them, most of these guys, like our local roasters, will as long as they put them in the vacuum pack within the first couple days, then they're good for a few months. So really, as long as you're going to a local roaster, you're getting fresh, locally roasted beans, you will get an incredibly different cup of coffee than buying, say, Pete's or Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or something like that that you buy at the grocery store. There's a night and day difference, in all honesty, in the quality of the bean that you get and the quality of the coffee that you get. And then from there, you can start exploring all the different things. Because that's where I started, honestly, was getting locally roasted beans.
Yeah, and I mean, you can get, so I would say you're going to get an 85% better result with locally roasted quality beans, and then every step you make beyond that is going to get you that much more. So you go from there and get a burr grinder. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a burr grinder. I mean, literally, you guys are lucky in the States. You could probably drop $60-$70 from a place like Sweet Maria's or Amazon, get a good burr grinder, you're going to get another 10%. So now you're talking 95%. And then every step you take to improve your brew method beyond that, it's going to give you an extra percent here, a percent there, to the point where unless you've done what we've done tonight, which is a couple different brew methods, you don't even recognize how much better it is until you try Starbucks, try Dunkin' Donuts, and you go, oh my God, all I can taste is petroleum. Like this tastes like gasoline.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and that's really is the biggest difference in all honesty, and so if you're looking at places online, look for places that specifically say that you're getting the beans, you know, right after they've been roasted, because if they roast them and they vacuum package it, you're fine, and as long as you drink it with, I have these big containers that are airtight, and as soon as I get the beans, I throw them in these airtight containers and press the little thing down and they're locked in there and they're good to go. And I normally buy a couple pounds at a time and go through a couple pounds a month. And
you can look on the bottom of most bags of coffee, either at the bottom section or the very bottom of the bag, they'll have a roasting date. You know, it's very important. Fresh is better. You know, unlike cigars, which take some time to sort of hit their mark, fresher is better. Usually after 72 hours is when coffee sort of hits its peak because it's got a chance to let the CO2 off. And you're going to get just that much better of a coffee extraction.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, we're at that time. We're probably going to wrap it up. I'm completely buzzed on caffeine at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to be spun tonight, dude.
There's no way I'm sleeping. I'm going to have some scotch to go to bed, honestly. but I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our sixth episode. Appreciate everyone supporting our show. Go to the YouTube channel and subscribe. Please check out CigarFederation.com. We're going to start up some, we started up a pairing group, so look for that. We're going to do some discussions probably on a daily basis about pairings. Again, thanks very much to Omar for showing up at the show, even though he's
absolutely
a guy.
Great thanks cigar.
Great cigar, great coffee from Spro. Look for it online. Support your local roasters, support your local beaneries. And make sure to tune in next week on the 20th when we talk about various wine pairings.
Bye!
Bye, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.